Who is excited to be in the house of the Lord today? You got to make some noise. Come on. You got to make some more noise than that. Are you excited to be here today? Yes. How many of you come expecting to hear God speak to you? Come on, you expect God's going to speak to you today. That's right. Because the level of your expectations is going to determine you're going to hear God speak to you today. And I'm telling you what, God is going to speak to you today. I'm telling you, He's going to speak to you. One of my great friends, Joe Sangle, is in the house. Joe is a pastor to pastors, the financial coach, business coach. He owns multiple businesses. He's an author. He speaks all over the entire planet, all over the place, trying to help people win and live a fully funded life. How many of you today want a fully funded life? Come on, you want a fully funded life? Hey, Joe, I see somebody got two hands up. Receive it, Lord. Receive it. Now, as Joe's getting ready to come up, listen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to welcome him to Kentucky, all the way from South Carolina. Come on, Joe Sangle is in the house.
Okay, brother. All right. That's awesome. You can be seated. That's awesome. It is so great to be in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Get fired up. I do live in South Carolina. I've been there 20 years now, but I grew up just south of Indianapolis, Indiana. And I know about the start of the month of May with the Run for the Roses and then the Indy 500 finishes the month of May. I'm fired up to be here today. Are you fired up to be at church? Come on. That's awesome. Today we're going to talk about how to overcome debt. Are you fired up about that? Yeah, buddy. Has anybody here ever had debt before? Anybody ever had debt before? Okay. Is anybody trying to get rid of some debt right now? Awesome. We're going to dump some debt today. It's going to be great. As we dive into this, I want to go to this series verse that we're kind of the theme of this Overcome series. It's in John 16:33, and it's where it says, I have told you all this so that you may have, what's that word? Peace. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
Peace. Do you have peace today? Anybody who has young children? Anybody praying for peace, right? And listen, do you have peace? Jesus came that you might have peace. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And let me tell you something, that's a great promise. In that song we just sang about your promises to me, I'm not going to go with what I feel, I'm not going to go with what I see, but I'm going to hold on to the promises you've given to me. And you can hold on to that as well. And let me tell you, you can take that to the bank. As we dive into this message today on how to overcome debt, I thought it'd be interesting to do some research on debt. It seems like in America specifically, we have a great appetite for debt. In fact, the U.S. national debt, you know, when I first started teaching this stuff, it was about 2006, I started traveling everywhere, and there's a debt clock, a U.S. debt clock that's in New York City. Somebody sent me a picture of it, and back then, it was outrageous amounts of debt. We had $6.8 trillion of debt, the United States did. But let me tell you something, shortly after that, they had to add a new letter, a new spot for another number out in front of it, and it's grown now. Right now, we have $21.2 trillion in debt. We have tripled our debt in 12 years. Does that sound like we're overcoming as a nation? In fact, let's divide it. Let's make it really relevant. For every U.S. citizen in the house here today, man, woman, and children in the child care area, that is $64,512 each. Get fired up. And if you're a tax-paying citizen, which not all of them are, most of our kids are not paying taxes unless they're a Gerber baby model, and they all should be Gerber baby models making money, but for taxpayers, it's $174,188 per taxpayer. Is that awesome? How to get fired up on a Sunday morning? This is awesome. Credit card debt is also at record levels. In fact, for the first time ever, in the last quarter of last year, exceeded $1 trillion for the first time ever. In fact, right now, Americans owe $1.0298 trillion, and that's for those who carry credit card debt. One out of three Americans carry an average credit card debt of $8,173 per household. Average interest rate is about 16%. Many of them are at 21.99 or 29.99%. Average new vehicle loan is also at a record level, $31,099. The average payment, get this, what do you think the average payment is? $515, that's right, I heard $500. And the average term is for 69 months. Man, we like our cars in America, especially when they're really tall and really large. Somewhere in the Bible, I'm sure it's in there, like in the first book of Hesitations, chapter 3, verse 2, says every dude in the South needs a truck. I'm looking for it still, but I'm sure it's in there. Who's with me? You think it's in there. That's right. We got to have that. Four-wheel drive, absolutely. There's no other type of truck. And then student loan debt is now at $1.5 trillion. And the average student loan debt is $37,172 per student with an average payment of $393 a month for 20 years. Get fired. The largest demographic repaying student loans right now, when you look at them in 10-year blocks, those age 20 to 29, those 30 to 39, 40 to 49, 50 to 59, 60 to 69, the largest demographic repaying student loans is 40 to 49. They've been repaying on student loans on an average of over 20 years. They have a long-term relationship with Sallie Mae, and it's time to break up, or in her first cousin's Navient or Federal Direct loan. And the average mortgage debt here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, it's actually the fifth lowest of all the 50 U.S. states, and its average mortgage debt here in the Commonwealth is $126,446. And we know that all throughout God's word that it says clearly, listen to this, debt is not wrong, it is not a sin. Hear me on that, that's very clear. But it says that if failure to repay it is a problem, and that is a sin. But every time the Bible speaks about debt, it does it with cautious tones, tones of caution. Proverbs 22:7 or Romans 13:8, let's start there. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. In other words, don't leave it outstanding, right? And the Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is, what's that word? Servant to the lender, slave to the lender. And that's crazy, but it's the truth. And many people say, I don't really feel like I'm servant to my lender. You know, I really don't feel like that. But I would say, stop paying them for a couple months. You will find out who is the servant to the lender. And so we're going to talk about this. But before we do so, I want to dive in and talk about four types of debt. I categorize debt into four categories, okay? So if you're taking notes, you can write these down. They won't really be on the screen, but I want to just share them. The first type of debt is what I call terrible debt. Terrible. Everybody say terrible. I'm talking Charles Barkley, T-R-B-L, terrible, terrible debt. Let's talk about terrible debt. That's payday loans, pawn loans, car title loans, rent-to-own loans, where you're paying 300 to 600% interest. Can we all agree that's terrible? Unless you're the pawn shop owner, then it's amazing, right? And then the next level is what I call bad debt. It's bad debt. And bad debt is like credit card debt or furniture debt that you bought. You remember, you bought it 24 months, same as cash, and then you went to 25 months, and then they backdated all the interest, and it's like 50, 60% interest. That's bad debt. Then there's better debt, okay? And better debt is your home mortgage or student loans that allow you to get a degree that allow you to produce more income. That's better debt. I recommend student loan debt of less than half of your first year's expected salary, no more than one times your first year expected salary. I have a person that I coached once, and they had $120,000 in student loan debt, and they had a degree in history. They could have went to the local community college and graduated with no debt, but they chose to fall in love with the name of a school, and they forgot that the reason they were going to school is to figure out how to produce some income to pay for it, and they found themselves in a horrible position. That's better debt. Best debt is, I did say the word best with the word debt, and that is like rental real estate, commercial real estate, or business debt, where that debt, someone else pays it for you, the renter pays it, and you actually make money on the equity and that sort of thing. And listen, here's what I know, that ideally, we could all be 100% debt-free, or let's talk about another term today called net debt-free. Everybody say net debt-free. Net debt-free is you're not debt-free as in you have some debt, but you could be debt-free tomorrow if you chose to. You just choose to carry rental real estate debt, but you could pay it off tomorrow if you wanted to. Does that make sense? So that's net debt-free, and that matters. You know, I'm reminded as I talk about debt, of the college student who'd went to college, 5 years. They're finally graduating. Their parents were so excited. They called them and said, "I'm graduating." And their parents were so excited. They were a little flabbergasted. Finally, their student finally got focused. They're going to graduate. And then they proudly said to them, "I'm graduating. In fact, I've got 3 companies after me." And they said, "This is amazing, because I don't know if you're that way, but as a parent, I would like my child to graduate and then leave my house. That'd be awesome. And not come back, for money at least. I like them to come back maybe with grandkids, but I want them to be independent, who's with me," right? I'm gonna speak to somebody here right now. You have a 40-year-old child and you're still funding their crazy financial decisions. It's time to knock it off. For real, for real. But anyhow, I want to raise independent citizens, and watch this. They're talking to their student that's so excited. They got 3 companies after him, and they said, "That is awesome. We'll be at the graduation. We're so excited. Who are the 3 companies after you?" And he said, "Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. Please send money." And we don't want our kid graduating that way. We don't want that for us. And so today, I want to talk to you about how to overcome debt. Now, I used to have a pile of debt. I went to Purdue University, I studied mechanical engineering, and my first weekend there, I started acquiring debt. I started dating Sally Mae. I had no money. My parents said, "You are on your own." I'm the youngest of 6 boys, so they were just excited because the youngest is leaving. This is a great thing for them. They started giving me hints at 13 years old, right? And so I'm finally going to Purdue, and I'm up there. I'm going to study mechanical engineering. I'm dating Sally Mae. And my first weekend there, they had credit card applications available. And if I would just fill them out, they'd give me free stuff. So I filled out all of them. It was a very fast application process. What is your name? Joseph Sengel. What is your income? $0. What is your job? I do not have one. Give me my free stuff. And I remember it like it was yesterday, even though it was 25 years ago. They gave me a free 2-liter of Coke. Woo! I got a t-shirt from AT&T that advertised their long distance service. That used to be a thing. I've got some millennials staring at me like, "What are you talking about?" Right? It used to cost you money to call someone the next town over, for real. Like, think about data. It's similar to paying for data now. And then I got a duffel bag from American Express that I use for hunting to this day. But let me tell you something. I got that free stuff, and I admitted on paper I had no money and no job and no income. Do you think they sent me a credit card? Yes. 1 week later, they sent me a credit card because credit card companies know that college students generally have parents who love them and will probably bail them out of their financial poor decisions. They did not know my parents, who said, "You are on your own." And so I quickly started. I didn't have that kids show that says swiper, no swiping, right? Come on, Vominos, everybody, let's go. No, I didn't have that wisdom in my life. So I started swiping away, and I ran up a credit card balance. After 4 years, I graduated with a degree. I was so excited. And I graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering. I like to say I was not a stellar student. I did not get a single A in a single engineering class, not one. Be glad I'm not designing anything. It would hurt somebody. In fact, some people graduated special honors. They had gold cords on, and they graduated magna cum laude, summa cum laude. I said I graduated with lesser known honors called thank the laude and got out of there. Did anybody graduate that way? I graduated with tens of thousands of dollars of student loan debt. I didn't graduate from my debt. I had thousands of dollars on the credit card debt. I graduated and I needed a different car. My other car had caught on fire not once, but twice. So I bought another car, I bought a new car. I even financed the sales tax. 105% financed a car. It was different, it was awesome. It had a steering wheel, it had air conditioning, it was amazing. But then they sent me a payment coupon book, and they wanted $359.96 back. Isn't it crazy how payments tend to brand themselves onto your brain, even when it's long ago? And then I bought a truck, because every guy needs a truck, $315.60 a month. Then I asked my college sweetheart to marry me. She said yes, so I financed the engagement ring, the wedding, and the honeymoon to Jamaica, all on the credit card. And then we moved with a job transfer to South Carolina in 1998, and we put together enough money to get a 5% down payment on a house. We bought a house, and that was a debt of another size. And then we wanted furniture, so we bought it, 24 months, same as cash. And let me tell you, I found out that they will give you debt rather rapidly. And you can make those decisions and you can get into debt within an hour, right? You could go down to the car lot and you can buy a car in about an hour and spend a year or 2 years worth of income. But getting out of it will not be a 1 hour thing. It could be years or close to a decade or more. And that's where I found myself with a pile of debt, broken, trying to overcome this stuff and not knowing how in the world I'm gonna get out of it. And I wanted to live a fully funded life, to be able to do exactly what God had called me to do, regardless of its cost or the income it might generate, but I had no clue how to get out of it. In fact, I knew how to do one thing with money. In fact, I was talented at it and had a spiritual gift of this. And what is that? Spending it. I had the gift of making money disappear. Who has that gift? Anybody has that gift? That's right, Jesus, I pray for these hands right now. Deliverance in Jesus' name. Okay, so here's what, who's praying for the person sitting next to you to be overcome that? Okay, that's awesome. Here's what I know. When you're a spender, that's awesome. There's a reason God put spenders with savers. Here's why. The saver makes sure you show up at retirement with some money. The spender makes sure you have some fun getting there, okay? So we balance each other out. But it's very important to learn how to overcome it. I was in a mess, and I'll never forget I had a moment, and it was December 2nd, 2002. It was an unbelievable day in which I had this face-to-face, real conversation with myself and with my bride that said, we are completely broke. We have ran up these credit cards multiple times. We're paying huge interest. We have debt up to our eyeballs, and we need to get out of this, and we need to overcome this. And I don't know if you've reached that moment in your life yet. Maybe you've reached it in your past, or maybe today is the day that you have this moment. But I will tell you, when you truly have this moment, you will change. And for me, it began with repentance, where I repented before a holy God and say, God, you own all this. I've spent it all. I've financed some more. And I repent of my horrible management of what you've given me. You're the owner. And God, for the rest of my life, I'm gonna seek to put you first. And whatever you bless me with, I'm always gonna return the first fruits. And the rest, I'm gonna manage in a way that honors you the best I know how. I started devouring God's word, and I found it to be unbelievable in helping me in my money journey. And there's really, when I look back over that journey, there's three main steps that I took to overcome debt. And I wanted to share them with you today, and I really hope that they will help you. The first thing, if you want to get out of this and overcome debt, number one, understand your calling. Understand your calling. Understand your calling. Do you know what you're put on earth to do? Do you know it? See, here's what we do know. There's a general call and there's a specific call for every single person here. Everyone in the sound of my voice, those watching online, even those in Kenya, that you are created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. God created you to be free. He created you to be able to live a life of purpose. In fact, we all owe a common debt. It's called the debt of sin, don't we? And let me tell you, you can work all your life. You can do all the good deeds you ever wanted to do. You can build up the biggest bank account, and none of it will erase that debt of sin. The great news is, if you owe that debt of sin, all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus, confess him as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And that debt is wiped out that easily. Are you fired up about that? Hey, listen. Those that are applauding have had their debt paid. There are other people in this house. Salvation is coming to your house today. And all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. And you have to know that you're called and to put Jesus first in your life. And you can have that sin debt repaid. But let me tell you something. The financial debt will remain. And you need the Lord's help to remove it. And I will tell you, the way that I started this journey is I recognized my calling. Because you're created to be a blessed person. In my Bible, it says that you're to be the lender to many nations, that you'll be the head and not the tail, that with the same measure that you give, it will be poured back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And let me tell you, are you living that type of life? Are you living the blessed life? I'll never forget, I was sitting on a Southwest Airlines jet and I was broke as a joke. And man, let me tell you something, it's tough being broke. I was telling I'm so broke jokes. It was tough. I mean, I had to laugh to keep from crying. Like, I would say, I'm so broke, and let's do some Rodney Dangerfield stuff here. I'm going to say, I'm so broke, and you need to say, how broke, okay? Are you going to play along here? Man, I was so broke. I was so broke that I was walking down the street with one shoe on, and they said, hey, you lost a shoe? And I said, no, I found one. That's broke. Man, I was broke. I was really broke. I was so broke that when people come to my door and ring the doorbell, I have to personally yell ding dong out the window. I was broke. I was so broke. I was so broke, I had to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and lick other people's fingers. That's broke. Don't do that. That's just weird. Hey, that was fun. But let me tell you something. When you're broke, when you're with yourself, when you're staring at the bank account, when it's 6 a.m. and you just woke up in the morning and one of the first five things you do is pull up the app and check your bank account, see how far in the overdraft you are. You know who I'm talking to. When you're so broke that you know every single payroll rule, you know exactly, you know, oh my goodness, payday's on the 15th and it's Sunday. They're not going to put it in until Monday night at midnight. We're so broke. When you're that broke, let me tell you something, you're not laughing. And I had to remember my calling in the middle of this. I'm on the back of the Southwest Airlines jet, and I'll never forget, I was flying from San Diego to Chicago Midway Airport. I don't know why, but at that moment, God was pressing in on me, and I was seeking God's call in my life, and I started writing down my dreams. What does a fully funded life look like? Begging God to give me clarity. And I started writing down these dreams of different things that I felt like God was calling me to accomplish in my life. And I ran across this verse in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it helped me discern God's call in my life, his specific call. I believe it will help you as well. And it says this, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In other words, you're saying, I'm exchanging my plans, hopes, and dreams for your plans, hopes, and dreams, right? My life for your call. And it says, when you do this, watch this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this. How does that transformation happen? When Jesus comes into your heart, your desires change for what you want, for what breaks the heart of the Lord. When all of a sudden it's like scales will fall from your eyes and you'll see the needs of the least of these. For the orphan, for the poverty stricken, for those in your life who need Jesus, who are poverty of spirit. And all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I could go get this, but I would rather be able to go help with that. And it says, when you have that renewing of your mind, watch this, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You're chosen. The Bible says you are loved. The Bible says you are blessed. Remember, we're understanding your calling. You want to overcome debt? You got to understand your calling. It says you're called to bless others. That you're called to live generously, that you're called to remember the poor, and you're called to pursue God's will for your life. So with that known, I want you to remember you're gathered together in a church, and we promote honesty and integrity. These are two core values. And so knowing this, I'm gonna ask a question, and I want you to be honest with me. Who here, you do not have your God-given plans, hopes, and dreams written down somewhere. You do not have them written down. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise it. Own it. Raise your hand. Raise them. Okay. Hands down. It's over 60% of the room. And I'm going to help you with something. You get one life. How many? How many lives? One. Only one person got back up and stayed up. I'm guessing you will not be the second. Right? Lazarus got back up. He died again. They don't preach that too often. Right? Jesus got back up. Right? So watch this. You get one life. Why not live it intentionally? I think the greatest thing you could do today is to go sit maybe in that favorite spot in your house, the favorite corner of your restaurant, whatever it might be. Listen, buy it one more time on a credit card. I don't care. Go to your favorite place. Take time. And write down your dreams. Write them all down. Even the dream that is so huge that it takes your breath away and you've never told another human being. because you're fearful of what they may say about the dream, but you know for a fact God gave it to you. If you want to overcome debt, you need to understand your calling, and here's why. When you know your why, it helps you make the less than fun decisions. It helps you stick to tough decisions. And it helps you remind yourself, why am I doing this? Oh, here's why. Write down your dreams. And listen, what's at stake? Listen, you don't have to go do that. You don't have to go write down your dreams. You don't have to do that. But what if you did? What if you did? What's at stake? Maybe that business, maybe the next Google, maybe that trip, that career, that spouse, those children, that ministry. Understand your calling. You want to overcome debt? Understand your calling. And the second thing is establish margin. Establish margin. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Everybody say margin. Margin. Okay, let me ask you a question. If you lost your job tomorrow, how long could you go until you ran into financial troubles? Don't answer that out loud. Some of you are like, uh-oh, I don't want to think about that. Let me ask you the next question. If you got sick tomorrow, how long would you be able to support your family? You're 3 to 4 times more likely to be disabled for 90 days or longer than you are to die before age 65. Are you prepared for it? Margin allows you to prepare for it. In the book of Nehemiah, there's a great story about a wall that had been broken down. And Nehemiah heard about this wall around the city of Jerusalem, and he knew that a city without a wall could not prosper. And so he said, I need to get this wall rebuilt. And so he came to the city, and he said, you need to rebuild this wall. And here's why. That they were trying to rebuild stuff in the city, but because they had no wall, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite kept coming in and taking their stuff because they did not have this wall. And the wall doesn't keep enemies from attacking, but it keeps them at a distance and gives you a warning if they're coming. Does that make sense? And so you remember in English class, does any of you remember English class? That was a while ago or so. But you remember when they would ruin your life and make you write a writing assignment? Do you remember this? They'd ruin your life, make you write, they would make you handwrite it. 2 pages, single spaced. I mean, this is like horrible, right? Terrible, right? And do you remember they would issue instructions like write legibly? Do you remember this? Don't write in giant letters, I'll make you rewrite it, right? Because we know all the tricks. And they'd say, be careful not to write in the margins. What is the margin on that sheet of paper? It's space, isn't it? And that wall around that city is what? Space between them and their enemy. In the same way, financial margin creates space between you and life happening. If you have savings, you can stay focused on God's call and you can just fix the problem. The car breaks down, okay, that's annoying, but I can fix it. No problem, let's go fix it. The refrigerator can die, you can fix it, right? But if you have no margin and the car breaks down, you have a freak out panic attack. Ah, car broke down, and you just completely ignored the fact that cars break down. They do. Even if you drove in here, I don't care if you rolled in here in a Rolls Royce Bentley. Actually, I do, I wanna ride in it. But it's gonna break down. For real, it's gonna break down. Margin, establish margin. Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Are you spending whatever you get? Hey, did anybody work hard this week? Anybody work hard? Anybody work hard? Anybody worked a half day this week? You know what half days, 12 hours a day, right? Half days? Yeah, can I get a witness, right? Let me ask you a question. Did you build margin? Because margin helps you overcome debt. Listen, how much money have you been able to save? Let's ask this question. Are you operating a for-profit life, meaning that you're able to put money in savings and investments every time you earn income, or are you spending everything you get and going into deficits? Are you operating a for-profit life, or is it operating as a non-profit? I used to operate that way. I encourage you to prioritize margin. There's 2 types of margin. I want to unpack this for you. The first type is reserves margin. Reserves margin is money that you already have in an account. It might be in the form of a possession. You might have a John Deere tractor and it's worth money. That's reserves margin. You could sell it. I don't want to sell it. I love my John Deere. But you could sell it. It's reserves margin. It's money you have already. That's great. The second type of margin is monthly margin. In other words, it gives you the ability to save every month and build reserves margin. And ideally, if you want to overcome debt, you would have both. You'd have money saved up, and you're able to save every month because you live on less than you make. But if you had to choose one of the two, I would choose monthly margin. Because monthly margin allows you to put money back into the reserves. If you only have reserves, but you're spending everything that comes in, life's gonna happen, knock down your reserves, life's gonna happen again, knock down, and you have no ability to replace it. If that makes sense, say yes. You need to establish margin. I'll never forget when I started this journey in December 2002, the next February, a tax refund came in. Now, some of you, you remember that April 15th, today is tax day, right? But because it's on a Sunday, they gave us till Tuesday. Isn't that wonderful? But if you got a refund, you're filing that thing on February 1st. Can I get a witness? Right? You're like, and you got that tax refund and you done spent it up. Woo, it's on, it's gone. It was on and it was gone, right? But that year, I chose to do something different and I put it in margin. Did I have credit card debt? Did I have truck debt? Did I have car debt? Did I have student loan debt? Did I have house debt? Furniture debt? Yes. But I chose to put it in margin. And for the first time in my life, I was able to breathe financially. If you've never had margin in savings, just sitting there so you can pet it, I encourage you to try it. It's life-altering, and it helps you overcome debt. Now listen, we talked out last week about wanting to overcome worry. Let's tie that to this week. If you want to overcome financial worry, build margin. Because then when you hear that sound in your car, you know what I'm talking about. You know when you hear that sound in your car and you reach out your hand, I rebuke that sound in the name of Jesus. In the 17-year-old GMC 1500, I can't believe it's making a sound. Lord, heal my car. And you worry. But if you have savings, you're like, I knew it was coming. Make sense? So if you want to overcome worry, build margin. You want to overcome debt? Build margin. Hey, listen, you don't have to build margin. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do it. But what if you did? You could overcome debt. The third thing that I wanted to share with you is to exercise self-control. Exercise self-control. This is a big deal. Self-control, keeping ourselves on the wagon, so to speak. Man, I have a son, and he is a destructive child. Has anybody raised a destructive child? Anybody? Anybody? Can I get away? Has anybody raised one successfully at age 18 without them killing themselves or someone else? I need counseling. This son, since he was born, he has broke everything in my house. Let me give you some examples. He's 8 right now. At 2, he started his journey. He took his toy fire truck and threw it through my flat panel TV. I think it was the toy fire truck that you guys bought him. Your pastor bought him a toy fire truck. He threw it through my flat panel TV. Isn't that awesome? And then shortly after that, he got a handful of coins and threw it in our garbage disposal, turned on the water, and somehow blew out the bottom of the sink and flooded my kitchen. Shortly after that, I'm sitting in the kitchen. His bathtub is on the second floor above the kitchen. And all of a sudden, I'm in the kitchen and it's raining on me. So I run up there, and he's figured out, at a young child, he's found out how to plug the tub and the overflow valve, and he's got it pouring over the top, saying, "Isn't this cool, Dad?" "No, don't do that." And he did it twice. On the way home for Christmas, he gobbled up a handful of coins. Do not ask me how I know. This son, we were building a new house, and listen, he got on top of the cabinet. It wasn't even set yet. The builder would just set the middle island. He climbed up on it. I heard a crash. It's laying upside down, and all the drawers are busted off of it. And it wasn't even done yet. The house wasn't even done yet. He's already breaking stuff. My son, I went into my office a couple years ago, and my office crew said, "What'd you do to your car?" My black Honda CRV, my what color is it? Black, that's right, it's black, it was black. Because they said, "You need to go look at your car." And my son, who I love, got his hands on a copper-toned spray paint can and sprayed the whole front quarter panel of my car. Get fired up. I can barely contain him. Don't applaud that. Let me tell you, I've had to exercise self-control. I've been practicing laying on of hands right now. But self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It is. If you know Jesus, His Spirit is within you. The Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, we all get this, In Galatians 5, 22, 23, see if you see it, says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you see it? There's no law against these things. See, when you're exercising self-control, when you're telling yourself no, just announce, there's no law against such things. Proverbs 21:5 says that the plans of the, what's the word? Diligent. Listen, diligent is the noun, is a descriptor or an adjective of self-control in action. Diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. So let me ask you a question. When you look at your money decisions, do you see self-control at work? Do you see it at work? And spenders, I know you don't at times. I'm with you, right? I used to go out, spend too much on lunch, and accidentally buy a truck, right? For real. Like, so don't do that. So you have to ask the Lord to activate it. And so let's get real. Does hunting invade your budget? I'm just going to list them off. I'm going to equal opportunity offend everybody. Shopping trips, go to the grocery store. Do you overspend on a cell phone? Subscription services, do you have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Prime, Roku, Google Red, iTunes Music, Pandora, Spotify, and cable? You have them all, right? Maybe self-control, maybe a little bit. And here's what I know. Impulsive is easy. It's easy. You don't buy a book called How to Be Broke in 5 Easy Steps. You don't have to buy that. And you don't have to activate self-control, but what if you did? What if you did? Here's 3 ways I've been able to have self-control happen in my life. First one is, remember what's at stake. Do you remember that I started out with knowing your calling? That's what's at stake. That fully funded life is at stake. Hey, is that fully funded life worth it? Is it worth it to be able to go to the Holy Land, to visit Hawaii, to travel to Tahiti, to go to Australia, New Zealand, and all of Europe? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to be able to help your kids with college? Is it worth it to be able to help fund the causes you're desperately passionate about, help advance the gospel through Better Life Church? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to help your grandkids with college, leave an inheritance? Is it worth it? You got to remember your calling. That helps you remember your why. Remember what's at stake. You know, the average family pays $500 to $1,250 a month in payments, non-house payments, $500 to $1,250 a month. And I did the math. If you invested that $500 a month for 20 years, it would be worth $494,000 after 20 years. I hope you like the car. If you invested $1,250 a month, if that's how much all your non-house payments are, it's worth $1.236 million after 20 years. Is all that stuff, is all that debt worth it? Because let me tell you, the second step to exercise self-control is to plan your money. Plan it. And that's called a budget. Got a budget. Every month before the month begins, plan it. Who owns it? God. What honors the owner? Planning it. And then watch this. The third one is simple. Follow it. Follow it. That's self-control. And so I want to tell you how this has manifested itself in my life. I never forget sitting down. I was frustrated with my debt. I was overwhelmed. I was sick of it. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't know if you've ever been there. But I reached what I call an I have had enough moment, an IHHE moment. In December 2nd, 2002, I repented of my mismanagement. My wife and I, we started getting our money headed in the right order, and we didn't really know about budgeting or any of this stuff. But in July of 2003, about 6 months later, 7 months later, my bride came in while I was watching my beloved Chicago Cubs lose another baseball game, which means I was taking a nap on a Sunday afternoon. She came in, and she had this written, scribbled piece of paper, and she said, Joseph, what do you think about this budget? And because I'm a spender, I did what spenders should do. I shrank back from it. And I said, no, 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 no. And I made up poetry on the spot. I said, my name's Joe. A budget makes me say no, and that interrupts my flow, so it's got to go, right? And look, Joe, I'm a poet, and my feet show it. They're long fellows. That's a bad joke. That's for the grammar people. But because she was cute, I decided to look at it. And I realized it could be an Excel budget spreadsheet. And as my engineer's heart, I was like, whoo, that could be pretty good. And we went and sat down. We prepared a budget. And we put God first. the full tithe. We put savings second. We put investments third. We plan the rest. And then we followed it. We wrote down our dreams and we followed it. And guess what? We made some mistakes the next month, sat down, prepared a budget. We followed it. The next month we sat down, we planned out, we followed it. In 14 months, all of our debt was gone except for our house, all of it. And then we were able to go on full-time staff at a church we helped start in Anderson, South Carolina, and I got to negotiate myself a 50% pay cut. And I'm smiling about it. You know why? Because when you get rid of debt, you can still prosper on less. That's a word for somebody here today. You're wanting to start a business, but you don't like the idea of less income. You get rid of debt, you can live and still prosper on less income. And it doesn't mean you'll stay there. It's for now, not forever. And then we kept after it. And in January of 2013, we were able to pay off our house at age 38. And I get to stand here right now and say that this is the 178th month in a row that we have sat down and prepared a budget and followed it. I have copies of all 178 of them. And let me tell you, the reason I did it was not because I love budgeting. I'm a spender. When I sit down and budget, even to this day, I start sweating profusely. For real. It feels like the temperature goes up to 7,000 degrees, and I would rather go run a 26.2-mile marathon. Who's with me, right? But because, listen, it's what the song said. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I see. It's the promises of God. And every single month, I engage with that horrible feeling, that wonky feeling, and I sit down and I prepare a budget with my bride, remind us of our dreams, we beg God for His Holy Spirit and self-control to be activated, and every single month, by the grace of God, for 2 months short of 15 years, we've followed it. And all that we've seen is all that God does is do the miracles that blow your mind. We are blessed beyond what we ever believed. He's given us 5 businesses, over 70 pieces of land with no debt on it. We have 19 employees with our company. And I don't know how it happened. All I know is that the promises of God are real. I get to live a fully funded life. And it's because, all because of God and His word applied in my life. And I believe it can happen for you today. Do you believe it? It can happen. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm gonna teach something called the financial learning experience. I'm gonna show practically how we've done a budget that actually worked, how to get rid of debt, how to save money, how much money you need to retire well, and how to get your money working for you instead of you having to work for all of it. And I pray that you'll come, you can bring your friends, your family, your coworkers. There's childcare, it's free. There's no insurance or investing sales pitch at the end. You can buy a book if you wanted to. But I wanna help you win with your money, and I would love to pray for you as I hand it back to Pastor. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for every life that's in this building. God, I pray for those that are watching online. God, I pray that we would take the step you're calling us to take. More than anything, God, I pray that you would make your calling clear. Give us the peace that passes all understanding and help us to lay hold of it so that we can move forward. God, I pray that you would activate that fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Help us to say no and not now and wait and later, knowing that it's not forever, that it's for now. And that as we live in the blessing later because we chose to live in the wait and now, right now, God, would we be careful to give you all the glory? We'd be careful to live generously. And God, would we remind ourselves daily that it is because of you, that it is for you, and that we are blessed because of you, that wherever we go, we might be a blessing to all who would encounter us. Jesus, we do thank you that you died and you paid a debt we could never repay, that if anybody would call upon your name, we can experience true freedom, freedom from that debt of sin, and we're grateful. It's in your name we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.